Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts, and today's date is Thursday, October 14th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 91, paragraph 1 and 2, we're going to read today, starting with usually the family should not and ending with more receptive when depressed. Today's readers are Leslie M., covering the 12 steps, Christina M., the 12 traditions, Deanne R., and Robin P. Then we'll have a newcomer greeter and announcements at the end of the meeting. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, so that would be Wednesday, October 13th at 10 a.m., is 17917. That's 17,917. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, October 14th, is 17,921. That's 17921. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Leslie M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie M. I'll now ask Christina M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thanks so much. Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Christina M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 91, and we're going to read through two paragraphs, the first and the second paragraph. And I will now ask Dion R. to please begin reading for us.
Dion? Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hi. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. Glasses are fogging up for some weird reason. Okay. Usually the family should not try to tell your story. When possible. Oh, I'm sorry. Good morning. Hi, I am Dion. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Very grateful. Okay. Usually the family should not try to tell your story. When possible, avoid meeting a man through his family. Approach through a doctor or an institution is a better bet. If your man needs hospitalization, he should have it, but not forcibly unless he is violent. Let the doctor, if he will, tell him he has something in the way of a solution. When your man is better, the doctor might suggest a visit from you. Though you have talked with the family, leave them out of the first discussion. Under these conditions, your prospect will see he is under no pressure. He will feel he can deal with you without being nagged by his family. Call on him while he is still jittery. He may be more receptive when depressed. And I'm going to start with, oh my goodness, this last part, which I read and could barely see because my glasses are foggy for whatever reason. This is, he may be receptive when more depressed. And that reminded me, and that's when I hit my bottom, when I was at that point of desperation, when I can hear anybody. Or whatever, if a bird would have sung the right words of telling me how to not feel so hopeless and helpless, I would have tried that. And knowing that the 12 steps had worked many times in the past, why can't it work with this food thing, God? Why can't you do this? And he said, here's a set of instructions. Continue working those 12 steps. And me and my ego felt like, no, that's not good enough. If you really want to stop me, I was that arrogant with God. If you really want to stop me, higher power, you could just knock the fork out of my hand. You know what I mean? And Instead, he knocked me to my knees, and I was able to call on him with utmost respect and whatever they suggested. And I finally hit rock bottom. Someone told me, don't forget that desperation, that way you felt, not what I ate, because I don't even remember what it was. I just know how I felt. I was sick and tired. The old cliche, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And my sponsor grabbed me. She showed me, okay, if you're ready, let's do these steps. And took me through the steps where I could. Everything they suggest, I like to say, take what you like and leave the rest. I was so greedy taking everything that I felt worked. And store the rest if I couldn't use it then, because it would come to me later. Some of the beautiful teachings my higher power showed me through Overeaters Anonymous. It's like work the steps. And if I don't work the steps continually, all I do is to develop another disease. If I don't be honest, I could be honest by omission, acting like it don't happen or didn't happen when I'm lying. How can I live a truthful, honest, sober, abstinent life, living the lie? Well, I'm going to tell this truth, but not that. For this compulsive overeater, it doesn't work. And countless others that tell me I could be honest with myself, a higher power, another human being, and not live a lie. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to be a servant. And look forward to hearing what you all have to say. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Dion R. Thank you. Okay, so who would like to comment on page 91, paragraphs 1 and 2? Just a reminder, although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the past 2 days and you'd like to, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Hi, it's Wendy in Boulder.
Wendy, and the first initial of your last name?
Oh, I'm sorry, M as in Mary.
Thank you, Wendy. Who else would like to share?
Diana H.
Diana H. Thank you, Diana. Anybody else? Press star 1 to unmute.
George E.
George E. We've got room for a couple more if anybody else would like to comment.
Nancy L. in Arizona.
Nancy L. Okay, great. That's a nice lineup to get us started. Wendy M., Diana H., George E., and Nancy L. So please share with us, Wendy. And if you're not Wendy, please press star 1 to mute your line. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, Wendy M. in Boulder, recovering in this program. Thank you so much for for leading us this morning. So what comes to me, there's a few things. First of all, I know that as an addict, I do not want to be nagged, especially when I don't want this program yet. I don't want any pressure, right? Like, I had a family member, I remember this is maybe a year before I got in the program, and he, like, came from behind and held my stomach, and he says, what's going on? What's really going on? Do you know the amount of shame that I felt? I didn't feel at all like talking. I didn't want to talk about my stomach. I didn't want to talk about what he was talking about, which I knew. Like, we all know. Like, this isn't a big surprise, right? I know that, you know, I know I've got a problem, right? So it's not until the food and the you know, bottoming out, you know, it says in other parts of the book, that's going to be the great persuader. It's not going to be somebody coming to me, whether it's a member of this program or my brother-in-law. I've had a couple people before program just say, what's up? What's going on? Or I noticed you're gaining weight. That's the last thing I want to hear, right? I just want to recoil. And so it's not until I'm jittery and not until I'm really bottoming. And as I said, the food is the great persuader. This addiction is the great persuader. There's not going to be anyone on the planet in terms of sponsors who's going to do it for me, because the job of the sponsor is not to convince me. This is not a convincing game. This is not at all, that's not what we're doing here. You know, and the other thing I want to say is that what helps me as a sponsor is to remember that I'm not sponsoring these people. God is. God is the sponsor. And with that in mind, I actually can't do any wrong. I can learn. I can make mistakes, whatever. But if God's in charge, I don't have to figure out anything in terms of sponsoring. You know, I heard on the earlier meeting, we are where we are. Like, that's it. And we can do the best we can. And there's instructions here and working with others. You know, hey, don't do this. You've got to watch out for this. Maybe not, you know, call on the family. Work through the doctor. But my point is that I mean, those are important and helpful. They absolutely are. But we aren't sponsoring them. God is. And we are just following the tenets of whatever it is our God's will is. And God's will can come through other people. I might call my sponsor and say, hey, how did you do step one? Can you remind me? You know, but that's just God. It's just more God.
Just
and more
a reminder?
God. Absolutely. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. Great start. Okay, Diana H., you're up next, followed by George E.
Hi, thank you. I'm Diana H. in Texas. I'm a compulsive overeater and grateful to be here. I haven't shared in a while, but I'm going to start doing it more often. Anyway, I think it's kind of funny where it says avoid meeting a man through his family, because I would never think to go to someone's family. In fact, I have met very few family members of my fellows in program. I've met very few husbands or children. I have met a few, but not very many. And I was thinking, how would I feel if someone went to one of my family members, you know, before I came into program? What if my mom came to me with some other person, or my husband, or whatever, and I would feel sort of betrayed. It's like, why can't you just talk to me instead of bringing this other person here? Where it says he will feel he can deal with you without being nagged by his family, it just brings to me the importance of trust and confidentiality. If I'm going to sponsor somebody, I want them to be able to trust me and to know that our relationship is confidential, and I'm not going to be talking to other people about it. And that's how I want it to be with my sponsors and my sponsees. Our conversations to me are very intimate sometimes. We have a lot of things we talk about in addition to, you know, the basic working the 12 steps, but there are life issues and things that I talk about to my sponsor that I wouldn't be able to if I didn't feel like I had that trust and the anonymity part of the program. So, and I do remember one time when my mom had said to me, if you go to this place, it's one of the pay and way things, if you go here, I will pay for it. And that was the only time anybody in my family ever really said anything about my eating or my weight. I wasn't one of those who had people telling me all the time, you should do this, you should eat this, you should eat that. I was pretty much on my own, and boy, I sure didn't know how to do it. I got up to a pretty high number, and gratefully, I can say that I'm recovered today, and it's because of not only the 12 steps, but also the relationships that I've had with my sponsors over the years. So thanks for letting me share. I will pass.
Thank you very much, Diane H. Okay, George E., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Nancy L.
Yeah, this is George E. I'm a compulsive recovering overeater in Ohio. Interesting paragraphs. These are ones I tend to skip over. I think we all know that addiction is a family disease. And I personally think that the reason he wrote that you shouldn't meet through the family is because, you know, there's probably a tendency to, you know, take sides. And, you know, that's probably the worst thing a potential sponsor could do to a sponsee, potential sponsee. We just call them temporary, right? There's no such thing as a permanent sponsor. You know, they're all temporary, you know. And I was kind of caught today by that last sentence, you would be more receptive when depressed. To be blunt, you know, and this is the controller in me, why didn't he say when hungover? You know, why did he say when depressed? And I think, in a sense, if Bill wrote this, which, you know, we're never sure, maybe he was talking about himself. In other words, we can only relate to somebody else's experience through similar experiences of our own. And because actually that paragraph contradicts what it says earlier. You know, it almost says the opposite. Maybe it's a little later, but the addict is not willing to get help usually. And, you know, the whole book says, well, if they don't want your help, you know, turn to somebody you can help. In fact, it says that right at the end of our 10th step. So turn your thoughts to somebody you can help. I reached out to a guy yesterday, and he had reached out to me, which is really unusual. And I almost think I don't have much that these guys want. That's why they don't reach out much. But here's the issue. Are you willing to go to any lengths? And I didn't do that. I mean, a lot of people did that with me early on, but I didn't do that because that's probably my ego trying to say, oh, look at what I've accomplished. You know, don't you want what I have? You know, and that's so fake. It is. And you know, it just took him a lot of courage to come back at all.
Gentle reminder.
Yeah, I know I'm sort of rambling here, but this part of the chapter is really distinct from the second part. And my favorite is on 98. It isn't helping others that's the question. That's all I have. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks for having this meeting.
Thank you so much, George E. And after Nancy L. shares, we're going to take some more people who would like to comment on page 91, paragraph 1 and 2, starting with usually the family and ending with when depressed. Please share with us, Nancy.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Welcome, everybody, and welcome newcomers. For me, I was surprised when my mother, who was in her late 60s, and her friend, who was in her early 70s, asked me to go out to lunch. I thought, well, that's nice. So I picked where we were going. We went to IHOP, and I had my big stack there in front of me. And they proceeded to tell me something that I think they thought I did not know. They were very humble and quiet about it, but they said, Nancy, you are either starving or binging, and we just wanted to let you know how much we care, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it just built up inside of me like, you don't think I don't know that? I got an attitude when I heard it. I didn't tell them off or cuss them out or anything like that, but I just ate faster. I just ate faster and faster and faster. And then that was it. That's all I remember. And then it was over. But what happened to me several years later, there was no one around me to try to convince me. There was no one there. I pulled in the garage one day. I looked down at my lap. There were wrappers everywhere. I had been driving and eating as usual. And I just got, it's like I got hit right between the eyes with the fact that, what the heck am I doing? I just lost 75 pounds at a pay and weigh. What the heck am I doing? And that's when that severe desperation came on me. I mean, I came running into an OA room. I didn't know anything about 12 steps. but I knew I was home. I just knew I was home. And that's when, you know, then the people there that had their recovery reached out to me, and I was more than willing to reach back and find out what the heck is wrong with me. So I'm very, very grateful for OA and for all of you and for our vision for you. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy L. Grateful for you, too. So, although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. So if you'd like to comment on page 91, paragraphs 1 and 2, please press star 110 mute and let me know.
Hi, this is Charles from California.
Oh, wow. I had one voice that I recognized, which was Charles H., and then everybody else, and then asked you to please repeat.
Sarah C.
Kathleen W.
Sarah C. Kathleen W.
Kathy B.
Kathy B. Is there anybody else out there?
Hi, Crystal S., California.
Judith S. P.
Yes, Judith S. P. Okay. So here's what I got. Charles H., Sarah C., Kathleen W., Kathy B., Crystal S., and Judith S. P. Wow, this is going to be awesome. Okay, Charles H., you're up first, followed by Sarah C. Star 1 to unmute, please, Charles.
Thank you very much, Elaine B. I'm here. Just to try to give you a little pause. I love that pause in recovery.
Thank you.
Yeah. I like to pause because, you know, I could run off at the mouth without pausing, you know, and I'm so grateful for the problem. Can you imagine this world without a problem? Everybody would be perfect. There'd be no need to go to OA meetings because everybody's at goal weight. Everybody treating people all good. That's not life. imagine life without, right? It says something like that in We Agnostics. But, you know, thank God for the problem. The problem led me to the solution. You know, after desperate attempts of trying to spin my wheels by myself, and it just never worked. So, you know, there's no such thing as perfection. Matter of fact, perfection is the highest form of spiritual abuse. You know, I gladly, with love and tolerance, you know, say to a potential protege, you know, maybe you need to hear a new voice. Because, you know, if I'm trying to work with somebody who will not work with me, and then I'm getting a family involved, that's no good. Like, you know, for me, like, I try to, you know, my wife, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to go to sleep because I'm hearing rappers all day. I mean, all night. All day I'm at work. So, you know, I tried to be her OA sponsor. It didn't really work well. And it's hard. It's like I got to do more 10 steps and pray more to be like, let me keep my mouth shut because no one wants to hear from a witch burner that don't like people that are binging or don't have, maybe not don't like, maybe that's too strong, are not tolerant and patient. But I heard from some good teachers in this program that there's three things I could do about anything that I can't control. And I'll close after this statement. Recover, recover, recover. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Charles H. Okay, Sarah C., you're up next, followed by Kathleen W.
Hi, my name is Sarah C., and I am a recovered compulsive over and under eater and exercise bulimic in Utah. You know, this reading really, really speaks to me that the family doesn't understand this disease. They don't understand that we can't stop just because somebody tells us we should stop. People that don't have addictions don't understand addiction. They think it's a matter of willpower. They think it's a choice. They think we're just gluttonous, that we could, on our own power, let this go if we really, really, really wanted to and if we really, 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 really tried. So for me, this is just a testament to how important it is for me to show up for another compulsive overeater and tell my story, relate in, tell them, let them know they're not alone, The disease may manifest differently in them than it does with me, but we are still facing the same problem, powerlessness, over-compulsively, overeating, undereating, bulimia, whatever it is, we're powerless. And to me, that is the first thing to talk about, is to relate in with a new person, because non-addicts can't relate. They're really sources or potentially sources of shame for those, for us. And for me, I had to be brought to my knees, literally, with the exercise bulimia before I was willing to admit that I was powerless. And sometimes that's what it takes for all of us. We have to hit a bottom. And, you know, like Bill says, you know, the remorse, the devastation, sometimes that's what we, where we have to go. But hopefully we can be met there by somebody else who has been there, who understands, who's not giving us platitudes and just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And, you know, when I hear people say, don't eat no matter what, no matter what, don't eat. If I could do that, I wouldn't be in OA. I can't do that. I am going to eat unless I have a connection with a power greater than myself, because of myself, I don't have that power. So I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah C. Kathleen W., you're up next. Kathleen W., you are up next, followed by Kathy B. Please share with us, Kathleen.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning. This is Kathleen W. I'm from Illinois. God bless you all for your shares and for your service. This part that says you may be more receptive when depressed. You know, I have a tendency to want to save people from their suffering or somehow try to ease them if they're feeling depressed about their condition. I've had this tendency more in the past than I do presently, because now I see how important it is for people to suffer, and that the suffering brings us to God, you know. And so I've learned in working with others that is the hopelessness of this disease, and that there is no solution outside finding that higher power, that power greater than ourselves. There is no solution besides that for people who are so desperately in the grips of this disease. I no longer try to soothe them and by saying, you know, well, it'll be all right, just come to meetings and it'll be okay, and it's not going to be okay unless we make the decision and take the action. And so I've kind of gotten free from trying to relieve people from that suffering. So I do honor people, you know, in their suffering. I honor their suffering because it's a gift from God. And I stand with them in their suffering and don't judge them because of it, because I've suffered myself, and the suffering's what brought me to that consciousness of God and to the freedom from the horrible effects of this disease. So when I'm dealing with when I'm working with the sponsee, I let them be depressed. I let them, you know, and I say, you know, it's hopeless. If we are in this hopeless state of mind and body. And that's all I have to say. I wanted to just share and claim my seat today. Thanks a lot for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen W. Great, we all have this space to share. Thank you. Kathy B., you're up next, followed by Crystal S.
Hi, this is Kathy B., compulsive overeater. A lot of people made comments to me from the time I can remember, from as far back as I remember. My grandmother used to tell me the story about this man who could not stop eating, and he blew up, like he exploded. And, you know, my father would make comments, like, you know, I was a teenager in the 70s, and I would wear, like, short shorts and, like, platform shoes, and he used to say to me, "You'll never be like them. Like, you'll never be like them," you know, and he used to, like, say, you know, if you just don't eat carbohydrates, you can lose weight. And one time when I was at my heaviest, my brother had said to me, he made a comment that was very, you know, degrading. And, you know, it was just one time a friend of mine said in front of everybody, Kathy would eat blank if you gave it to her. You know, it just, I can go on and on and on. I remember at my wedding, my cousin's husband went on a tangent to me about how to control my eating. And, you know, my ex-husband used to always say to me, "You see that girl over there? You could look like her if you really wanted to." You know, and I used to really try. I used to really try, you know. I even became a drug addict, you know, trying. And, you know, it just really, you know, I was like, and then like somebody else said, you know, I knew it. I didn't need people to remind me. And, you know, some people come up to you like in work and stuff, you know, and say, "Is your daughter big too?" You know, things like that. Like one time somebody asked me if I was pregnant. You know, I could go on and on. But I knew, and I couldn't stop. And I was always guilty and hiding and full of shame. And, you know, so it never really helped. And until I hit bottom and I actually wanted to do something about it, you know, and that's how it is. It's like you have to become willing as only the dying can be.
Gentle reminder.
And, okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy B. Crystal S is up next, followed by Judith SP, and we may have time for a couple more shares after that. So please share with us, Crystal.
Great. Good morning. This is Crystal S. from San Francisco, California. And I'm just claiming my seat once again, but I woke up this morning and I realized I didn't wake up with a food hangover or a shame food hangover. And I was like, oh my goodness, because I'm just so grateful for that. It's a miracle. I don't know why I didn't. When we were talking about the family, I'd shared this with my sponsor that my family is not in recovery. And it was the other, about a month ago, my partner, God bless him, he said, "Hey, Crystal, I get that you're in this food program, but you guys never talk about food." And I just started laughing, and they looked at me like I had three heads, like, why is that funny? But what I love is that I don't need them to understand. And if it was about the food, I would have put it down, and I wouldn't be on this call right now. And I'm so grateful because I bookend my breakfast and my exercise with this meeting, and I don't over-exercise since I came into the program, too. So I just want to claim my seat and say thank you all for being here, and I'm just really grateful that there's a place for somebody like me to come and to not feel like I have to do it all alone or that there's something really wrong with me, because there's not. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Crystal S. Okay, Judith SP is up next, and after she shares, we're going to
Hi, this is Judith
have
SP.
Time for... Hi, Judith. Can you hang on just a second? I just want to let people know we may have time for one or two more shares on page 91, paragraph 1 and 2. So please go ahead and share with us, Judith SP.
Thank you. Sorry for my interruption.
Sorry for mine.
Judith SP here in Maryland, and when I was reading these paragraphs a little bit after the first reader, what came into my mind was a fire, a burning, burning fire like the ones out in California. Really terrifically horrible and destructive, and that's what it has been for me over the years, this burning fire that just doesn't go away, but instead of ashes, it's humiliation and shame and hopelessness. And the last thing that I needed was more flame on the fire. And family, as good and as intentioned as they are, because I see it in myself with people in my family, it doesn't work. Why the heck put more gasoline on the fire? It just erupts it. And that internal eruption can only be quieted and subdued a little bit by water and the right ingredients, so that the fire quiets, so that the work can be done to start repairing. And for me, over my lifetime, the times where, whether it's a medical person or a teacher or a mentor or whatever, I can hear them, even if I don't want to accept what they're saying. With my own family, the crackling of the fire is so loud that I can't sort anything out. And this is so powerful to me, because gentleness, kindness, tolerance, and love are our creed. Yes, it's up to me to decide to do something about my disease, but there are hands out here that I can hold and are ready to reach out to me if I can quiet down a little bit. And just as, you know, if there's a fire and you have the firemen with the buckets passing it on to each other, whether it's the doctor, the institution, the sponsor, you know, there is this connection to help the process, so that I can say I'm recovered today because of the grace of God and you all and the steps. So thank you for letting me share. God bless.
Thank you very much, Judith S.P. Okay, it looks like we have time for two shares that aren't quite 3 minutes long, maybe 2.5 minutes. Who'd like to comment?
This is Christy M.
Christy M.
Karen W.
And Karen W. Okay. So, would be great if you could just be a little less than 3 minutes, and I'll let you know. Okay. So, Karen, Christy M., please go ahead. And if you're not Christy M., please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Christy M., a recovering bulimic, anorexic, and overeater in Oregon, and I'm so grateful for this fellowship this morning. And this paragraph just reminded me so much of step one, of just how long it took me to totally accept my powerlessness over this disease. I was in OA. It took me about 3 years to find abstinence in OA, and I just hit this last July my 1 year of abstinence from bulimia, and it took me about 2 years to get there, and part of that was just around step one, and how much that of this program, it's like nobody can want it for me. You know, my sponsor can't want it enough for me, my family can't want it enough for me, I have to be the one to want it, and nobody can want it more than me. And it took me a while to, one, just completely embrace my powerlessness and accept my powerlessness, and two, to be completely willing to give up the food as my solution to life. And I remember in the beginning, I had started working with a sponsor, and I would have a slip, and one of the first things I started to do was just to be able to tell people when I had a slip, and just, I felt so much shame around it, so much embarrassment, but it was always after. I would call and say, well, yesterday I did this, And, you know, at first they would say, well, why didn't you call yesterday? Or why didn't you call before? And it came to a point where one of my first sponsors just basically said, like, you know, I can't work with you because you're not ready. And I remember feeling all kinds of anger and resentment and, like, you know, how dare this person? But, like, as I look back now, like, that was totally the right thing to do. You know, she was giving up a lot of her time to be there to take my calls, you know, and I wasn't willing to pick up the phone before I picked up the food. And that was the truth. And she called me on it, and I didn't like that. But that's where I was. And that was the change of where abstinence came for me, is I
Central
started
mantra.
To become willing. Thank you. I'll wrap up. I started to become willing to pick up the phone before I picked up the food. And I had to come to that place. Nobody could get there for me. So thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Christy M. And Karen W., you'll be our last here today.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And I just need to say a quick thank you to everybody who shared on this meeting this morning. I believe my daughter is a substance abuse addict, and I believe that she needs a recovery program. But I also believe it's not my job. She knows where the help is. And I just, again, thank everybody for reinforcing that in me. It's not my job, it's God's. And I'm going to pass with that, and thank you again.
Okay, thank you so much, Karen W. Well, I'm going to leave an extra minute for collecting names from newcomers or available sponsors. And just special thanks to everybody who has shared. We're going to transition the meeting now by reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Robin P. please read A Vision for You.
Thanks so much. Hi, it's Robin P., very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.